Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and happy new year. It is January 2nd, 2020. Well, I hope your year was as good as mine. It was one of my best in the past 10 years, for sure, on many levels. And now it is time not just for Mickey Fulp's Major Market Monthly Review, but for the annual review as well. And Mickey, hey, happy new year. It's great to be doing this.
Happy new year, Kerry. What else is new? Record highs across the board in 2019.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the summary for all these markets, and every major market in the U.S., every index, I should say, not there aren't markets, every index is double-digit gains. Why don't you run down the list of how we did for the month and for the year? It is stupendous.
Sure, Kerry. Dow closed at 28,538 or 1.7% gain on the month. Over 22% on the year. S&P 500, 3231, almost 3% for the month, almost 29% gain on the year. Big performer, NASDAQ, 8973, 3.5% gain on the month, over 35% for 2019. And this was broad-based, small market index, which has lagged since Trump was elected somewhat. Closed at 1668, up 2.5% for the month, and nearly 24% on the year.
Hey, well, you know what? I think it's starting to look a lot like Trumpforia here. And I just so happen to own that URL, Trumpforia.com. But if you had any money in the market whatsoever, this was a phenomenal year for you. Even going into, you know, all the other markets, like let's take a look at the TSX. Pretty good picture there too.
Well, it underperformed the U.S., but so did the rest of the world. The rest of the world did quite well. Closed at 17,063, basically flat over the month, 19% gain on the year. Took a big hit in October when they elected the pretty boy ski bum, Justin Trudeau, with a minority coalition government again. Toronto Venture Exchange was down over 5 months, but it made a rally. It made the usual end of the year seasonal rally. We call this year after year. It closed at 578, up 8.5% on the month, 4% on the year. We expect this rally to continue until the PDAC in early March. We mentioned the rest of the world underperformed the U.S. Probably the worst performer, and get this, would be the emerging markets. That large cap index actually closed up 7% on the month at 1115 and 15% on the year. And it is probably the underperformer of the year, the rest of the world. Finally, the VIX closed up a bit this month at 1375. That's end of year, low volumes and low volatility at the end of the year.
Hey, and yeah, when you look at that and you think the average person with a 401k, an IRA, even a pension plan, even these underwater state pension plans, you know, probably maybe narrowed the gap, or at least didn't go that much further behind this year. But now when we look at our money here, U.S. dollar tells an interesting story, doesn't it?
Well, it was actually range bound all year, didn't move a whole lot, somewhere between, say, 96.5 and the low 99s. It was weak over the last quarter, closed down 3% on the quarter, almost 2% on the month, closed at 96.58, basically flat on the year. Of course, the euro was contra the U.S. dollar, closed up 1.7% on the month at 112. It lost over 2% on the year with negative interest rates really weighing on the eurozone. 10-year treasury, we had three cuts this year after the Know Nothing Fed predicted three rises just a year ago. We actually ended up with three interest rates cuts. The 10-year Treasury closed at 1.92, up 8% on the month despite interest rate cuts. But get this, Gary, it's down 29% on the year. Started the year at 2.69%. And Bitcoin, I think this says it all. It was down 42% on the half. It was up 94% on the year.
erstwhile kleptocurrencies, they never cease to amaze, do they?
no comment.
All right, let's go on to our metals, which is you and I hold particular significant interest for. Gold, really, when you look at it annually, had quite a run-up.
Gold had a very nice year, started the year at 1282, finished the year at 1518. All in all, it was a big year for the precious metals. Gold up 1.7% on the month, 18% on the year. Silver follows along. It actually closed up 5% on the month at 1784, did some catching up. It was up 15% on the year. Platinum, we called the triple bottom at the end of the May at 791. Buying platinum at that time, it closed the year at 964, 8% gain on the month, 21% on the year. And palladium, it just went nuts. It's not really a precious metal, although it trades as one. It's an industrial metal, used 95% for industrial processes. It actually closed the year greater than gold's record high, Kerry. It closed at 1922, up 5.5% on the month, up 53% on the year. And get this, from the metals lows, the commodities lows in January of 2016, palladium is up 290%.
Mickey, let me just add, remember, I predicted that palladium was going to hit 2,000 before gold. Looks like we're right around the corner. Did it intraday for one day.
I was unaware it went over 2,000 intraday, but it certainly is a volatile market that is driven by supply-demand fundamentals, but more importantly, it's driven by rampant speculation in the palladium and options.
All right, so copper. Copper finally had an up year.
Copper had a very good year, basically on trade progress with the Chinese. Closed the month at $2.79, up 5%. Closed the year up 2.7%. The copper market is poised to outperform other metals this year, assuming that we get something done of concrete value on the Phase one trade deal scheduled to be signed in mid-January and progress on phase two.
All right. So let's take a look at energy, another sector where, for the most part, things were very positive, except for one notable standout. But WTI.
Well, I'd say two notable standouts.
Oh, well, two. Yes, two.
But certainly we got black across the board for black gold, also known as Texas tea. WTI opened the year at 45.41, closed the year with a nearly $15 gain at 61.06, 10% gain on the month, 35% on the year. Brent, 68.38, closed the month at 10% or 9.5% gain, closed the year with a 31% gain. We've talked before about the gas glut that continued. Henry Hub, hit by warm weather in the Northeast tier states, closed the year at 219 for a 4% loss on the month, a 26% loss on the year. We're in a world of hurt was as far as gas goes. We are creating massive light pollution with flaring and drill rigs in the shale basins, which are rural for the most part. And not only that, but with the flaring and the venting of natural gas, methane pollution in the atmosphere, it's a sad story, but there's no market for gas. Finally, uranium did poorly. closed the year at 24.95, down 4%. The other energy component did not do well over the year was U308, closed the year a bit before below $25, 4% loss on the month, 13% loss on the year. Trump has talked the talk, but will he walk the walk on Section 238? We waited with bated breath.
Well, you know, when it comes to waiting for the government to do something or to not do something, generally it's very risky to bet one way or the other, because just like Trump is unpredictable, governmental action is also unpredictable. And then when it finally comes, you don't know if it's going to help you or hurt you. Well, let's take a look at these ratios, because they tell another interesting story.
Well, they certainly do, and we'll talk about all the ratios we cover. First comes gold and silver, closed the year at 85. It was the entire year spent above 80. It can be argued that this is a new paradigm for the gold-silver ratio. The last time that the gold-silver ratio was at its median or mean was in March of 2013, when it closed at 57. So that's 6 3/4 years ago. Something fundamentally appears to have changed in the gold-silver ratio. Platinum and palladium actually was stronger this month, closed at 0.64. We go back to 5 years when the platinum to gold ratio was greater than one, which is the normal situation. Platinum palladium ratio finished the year at one tick off its all-time low. You at one point predicted that the platinum palladium ratio would go below one. That's now been nearly 2.5 years ago. So topsy turvy precious metal ratios with no end in sight. Let's go to the energy ratios. The Brent to WTI spent the entire year at a 10 to 15% premium, closed at 112. The WTI to Henry Hub ratio, which has soared because of the Henry Hub gas glut. Last time it was at the present level, which is nearly 28. We have to go back all the way to August of 2013. Finally, the gold to WTI ratio finished above 20. It's been above 20 for the last year.
Yeah, well, the markets never cease to amaze. And the only way you really get the total perspective is total picture is to really take a giant look back, a look back at the year. We probably should do a 10-year and a 5-year review show, Mickey, because it's so easy to lose sight of where you are with respect to where you've been. And it's really important to get the historical perspective in any type of investing, because it's not just enough to chase momentum and go after the markets. You kind of need to know where they've been before so you can get an idea of where they might go again. So,
well, what you're really looking for is anomalies, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And so you play the anomalies, because with the reasoning that anomalous ratios are portend things to come when normalization naturally occurs.
Yeah, and we could very well see that gold to silver ratio normalize at a far lower rate, which would require one of two things: gold retreating a substantial amount, which may or may not be possible, but not all that likely, or silver advancing quite a bit and lowering the ratio there. In any event, it looks like we are in for a very interesting 2020. Hey, as we started out the day, and obviously we're not going to cover that in the numbers for last month, but gold is putting in a nice rally. So is silver. And well, when we do this at the end of January, we'll see if those numbers stick. In any event, make sure you check out Mickey's work over at mercenarygeologist.com, and the Twitter feed is at mercenarygeo. Check us out, financialsurvivalnetwork.com, and the Twitter feed's at Carrie Lutz, and email us with your questions, comments. Tell us how you did for the year. whether you listen to us or not, and where you wound up as a result. The email address is kl@carrylutz.com. Mickey, we will pick up once again, same time in February, which is just around the corner.
I look forward to it, Carrie.
All right, Mickey, happy and a healthy 2020 to you and yours. Happy and a healthy 2020 to everyone out there who's been listening to us for all these years. And it's been going back to 2011, Mickey. So we're 9 years of doing this, and hopefully we're getting pretty good.
We just completed our 119th show.
119th. That is pretty remarkable, which makes you the most frequent guest on my show by a long shot.
Well, I'm honored.
All right. And it's been an honor to have you on. We'll talk to you again in February.
Look forward to it, Carrie.